last year, I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you make.
It's time for Dirt and Sprig.
You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing. Woo!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprig.
Wheeling, dealing, limousine right, jet flying. Son of a gun.
Dirt and Sprig on 1080.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
The Fan.
So deep. It's so long.
All right, welcome back into a deep and long radio program, Dirt and Sprig. Alan and Braden, Dirt and Craig, with you on this beautiful hump day.
What's up, Braden?
It's my nephew's name. So awkward.
Makes it a little weird, a little uncomfortable.
How you doing over there, Alan?
I'm doing good, doing good. That's Teddy Ballgame's middle name.
Is it really?
Alan, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that? He kind of knew our family names.
Both of our dads had the same middle name. It's Alan.
Ah, so just keep passing it down.
Yeah, I fought for Milton. That was my grandfather's name, and Milton, yeah. Milton got shot down.
A little awkward. I probably shouldn't share this because he might hear this. When we were having our second kid before we knew, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was my soy boy nature. I'm like, I'm going to have two girls.
Didn't find out the gender?
No. We did, but before
okay,
we did.
Gotcha, okay.
It was like, you know, the ideal scenario. Little boy, little girl,
yeah,
all that.
One of each, you're done.
We were thinking about names for boys, and I was going to give him my middle name.
James.
Which, it's funny, because of the three kids my mom had with my dad, I was the one that my dad didn't raise. But I got the middle name.
But you got the middle name.
I got his name as my middle name.
Yeah.
Very weird. Part of Therapy Tuesdays.
This is what we talk about.
But I wanted to give, my son, if I had one, I was going to just pass that down. It's like, kind of a cool little family thing.
Yeah.
Maybe we could start that.
Hold on to that tradition.
And then I didn't have a boy. I had a girl. And then my older brother had a boy, and he just took that idea and ran with it.
He just stole the idea
he
from
did.
You.
Yeah. Just, and so my nephew, his middle name is James.
James.
And like, that's cool, but I was like, yo.
Hey, that was my idea.
That was my idea. It's my middle name, but okay.
You've technically been snipped at this point, so you're out of live bullets, buddy.
Hey, he
no
had
more
the boy.
James in your future.
I had a girl, he had a boy, he got it, he won.
To the victor go the spoils.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. We will revisit the Denver situation on Mike Malone's firing with Josh Dover in Denver. Shocking news, I would imagine. I mean, for all the criticisms Dirt gives on the Blazers currently,
yes.
What is the percentage outrage questioning if that's the Blazers doing that same thing at this particular point of the season with that kind of player and team?
Yeah, for a team that had just won a title 2 years ago.
In the Nuggets situation?
Exactly the same thing, but us.
Oh, this town would lose their minds.
We would lose our minds. Our heads would explode.
We'd be so confused.
Yes.
We didn't want to fire Terry Stotts, and Terry Stotts won like two playoff series his entire time here. So
overperformed.
Oh, he did. He overperformed. He projected as a 54-win team. He got him to that point, man.
So I got a couple more NBA dealings. I want to get some Masters stuff.
That's all right. I got Masters nuggies.
I also had an NFL draft thing I wanted to talk about, but I don't think I'm going to get to that today.
Too much breaking news yesterday.
There's a lot of NBA going on. Playoffs are almost here.
At 11 a.m., I did not expect.
Me either.
Mike Malone's done.
I thought I was getting spammed on. I saw it on Instagram, and I'm like, yeah. What?
A lot of times you got to double check that. Is this a ball sack thing?
Who's ESPN's account?
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
like, whoa, this is
it
real?
Bob Sharania?
We're
I'm
going to Shams.
Like, oh. Is it Shane Sharania?
It's Shane Sharania. Ah, this ain't real. Shane, get out of here, dude.
So I want to play this cut. I got a couple NBA things I'll get to, and then I'll do? I will move the master segment next. Pause NBA, get to Dover at 7:30.
Fair.
I want to give you guys your Masters stuff, okay? Tomorrow's going to be a little Masters Thursday on the Fan.
It is Christmas Eve today.
It
everybody.
Is Christmas Eve for a lot of,
par threes this afternoon.
That's right.
A lot of white people are super excited right now.
A lot of us whites are very thrilled currently.
We all need an escape from what's happening. I don't think golf's been tariffed, but I want to get to some audio here before asking you an NBA referee question. This was Kevin Harlan. Now, I'm not particularly fond of playing advertisers who maybe aren't advertising on our radio station, but this was during the great Celtics-Knicks game last night, in which Swag Poo Poo's return games, and we had a Porzingis. It wasn't his first one, but he's a return game, and he just absolutely stabs the knife in Knicks' hearts, hits a huge three from the logo.
I didn't know that was a return game. Was that his first one back?
No.
Okay.
No. But it's a return. I mean,
it's more Knicks.
We still
Celtics.
Celebrate Dame when he comes back.
It's just Knicks Celtics.
Okay. All right.
Here he goes. Don't do the return game thing again. We don't need to get into that topic again.
I was tuned in because it's Knicks Celtics.
We don't need to get into
both
that.
Both good.
Your two awful ass takes have been NHL over NFL, and who cares about return game? It's just a bad take.
It's a bad take.
I am watching Luka tonight.
Oh, so that one mattered. That one means something to you.
It built up.
I don't know that I'll remember it, but I will tune in.
It's not about remembering them all. Man. I don't remember what the score was to Brett Favre's Viking-Packer game.
Well, exactly.
But I remember seeing him come out of the tunnel in that Viking. I'm like, this is weird.
This is really, really weird.
But Kevin Harlan was doing a live on-air read. We have these from time to time. Shout out Trajan Wealth. And Kevin Harlan doing a live read, somebody screwed the copy.
Oops.
Kevin Harlan's a consummate professional. Here was Kevin Harlan on TNT doing a live read.
Tonight from Madison Square Garden, the NBA on TNT is brought to you by the new Crispy Tenders at CarMax. What? The way car buying should be. Can that be? What is that? Wait a minute. Hold on.
I'm holding.
Hold on. Are they serving tenders with cars? Are there tenders in the car?
Because if there is, you're in.
We just had the marriage of two different sponsors, and it was ugly.
He then came back. They got the right read, and he threw in at the end, CarMax, great cars and tenders.
And you get some crispy tendies, dude. You tell me I get a crispy tendy in the car that I buy, that entices the deal a little bit.
I'll give you a broadcasting take. One, Jeff Rust's take of Kevin Harlan is not good is one of the worst human takes I've ever heard in my life.
It's one of the worst takes that's ever been given on the Fan.
Like sports, non-sports, it's easily one of the worst.
It's near the bottom of the
list. The second one is, I love Reggie Miller and Kevin Harlan as a duo on a broadcast. Mm. And I'm going to be really sad when that's broken up because Reggie's going to Amazon.
Chemistry's everything with a broadcast crew.
It is.
That's what makes, I mean, Rafferty's also funny, but I thought the chemistry of the guys in the tournament was great.
Yes.
I would argue the broadcast crew was better than the games themselves at times and more entertaining. The things that they would say.
You gotta shining have, Raftery.
You got to have commentary, or excuse me, camaraderie in the booth with your commentary. And that was hilarious last night.
So yesterday the Lakers were playing the Thunder again, and they had just beat them over the weekend. So they play again. And this is a good game going into the fourth quarter, deep into the fourth quarter. Luka turns around, hits a shot, puts the Lakers up one. 108-107.
This was an 80-72 game, I believe, at halftime. It was fireworks all over the place.
And he turns and he shouts something. The ref tees him up. That was his second technical. He's tossed.
He's gone. 7 minutes ago in the game.
He immediately runs and says, I wasn't talking to you, and he's pointing at a fan because Luka gets involved with fans. He's one of those players that thrives on the courtside stuff. And everybody is losing their mind. They tossed Luka Doncic fourth quarter of a one-point game against two teams that may or may not play.
A nationally televised game.
In the Western Conference, and I'm watching this, and I'm like... I don't know what this league is doing because I watched the other day on NBA TV, Rockets-Warriors.
It was an all-out brawl,
Forgot to mention the Rockets, back-to-back great wins against the Thunder on last Friday, and they just beat the Warriors.
They were likely the
Ime Udoka's calling everybody a little bitch right now. I'm loving it, man.
Steph Curry, LeBron, don't care,
don't care, yeah.
And I'm watching that game, and Draymond Green is like begging the ref, doesn't get something, elbows Şengün, gets a technical, and then goes up to the ref and just claps in, like, right in his face. Yes.
In his face.
And I know we've said this before. I know people all kind of agree with it. How he is allowed to be that, and literally everybody else cannot utter a word towards a ref. The league needs to do something. For all of the things you want to fix in the NBA,
that's number one.
That's in my top three of why is that candy ass allowed to act like that, but everybody else has to play by a standard.
Yeah, you think back to our time in Portland when you had a reputation with officials, you were treated more harshly. It was the Rasheed Wallace, you have a reputation, you look at me the wrong way, boom, T, you're done.
Yeah.
That was the way that the league used to operate. You had that going into a game, hey, I got my eyes on you. You better mind your damn business or I'm going to tee you up a couple times and you're going to be ejected. They've now gone completely the other direction, where you're essentially allowed to get away with more if you complain about more throughout the course of the game. This is one of those, first off, it just is embarrassing for the league. He's one of the faces of the sport. It's the damn Lakers. They're playing the best team in the league this year. It's a thrilling game, back and forth, second of a back-to-back between the two teams. It's on national television, and it's 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and you eject maybe the best player on the floor. It's just a laughable move. And how you don't have the wherewithal. You know what it honestly kind of reminded me of? And this is it's a totally random analogy, but I was just thinking about it the other day because I was watching Full Swing. When Scottie Scheffler got arrested before the PGA Championship last year,
remember that,
and
show.
How there wasn't like a couple of cops that just came together and were like, hey, let's
deep breath.
Let's think about what we're doing here for a second.
Yeah. That cop's still working, by the way.
I, for the love of God, hope not.
Proven he was not.
Hey, this is the number one golfer. Do anybody know who this guy is? He's the number one golfer in the world. Maybe he had a right to go in there. We shouldn't have freaked out the way that we did. Let's just let cooler heads prevail here.
Yeah.
How there wasn't a moment when he goes up and says, wait, what are you doing? I was not talking to you. How you cannot convene as officials and say, all right, can somebody take the flag from me here? I screwed up. I thought he yelled at me. Can somebody else go on the mic and say, our apologies, that technical foul is rescinded, and Luka Doncic, like, how you don't let calmer heads prevail. The only people that are getting punished in that situation are the fans. And NBA fans go through a lot with guys not playing, guys not being in the lineup. Hey, I bought a ticket. I want to watch Luka Doncic play. It was a great game, and we were robbed of a great finish between two teams who might play in the conference finals.
Lakers are trying to clinch the three seed.
It's a massive game for them. Massive for them. And he was ejected with 7 minutes
to
go.
No business that
for yelling at a fan
didn't affect anything.
Look, I'm not the biggest a fan. I honestly wouldn't want him on as my franchise guy. But like the NBA is kind of zeroed in on what Ja's doing. You see Ja's new celebration now.
He's throwing grenades now.
He's just mocking.
I mean, he really is. And
$75,000 fine. Like, all right, it's like finding me $1.50.
Sure, part of me watching him throw that grenade and then cover his ears.
Exactly.
And I'm like, that's actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's funny trolling, but man, why are you so immature?
I don't know.
Why does it always have to be weapons?
I'll be curious if Silver suspends him for the first game of the playoffs.
I feel like you would have done that already.
I think
and
he has
not
to now.
Done it for the playoffs, but maybe
no,
he will.
No, I think
will.
He'd do it for the playoffs.
They cannot do this to Luka again. I know he deserves one tech a game. I totally will acknowledge that. He
yes,
does it every game.
He can't
game.
Shut
he's,
up.
He's a whiny bee.
He
There's
is.
No doubt about it.
But you cannot toss. You no. cannot toss. That's got to be a directive from the NBA. Can you name the six players who have more technical fouls than Draymond Green?
Oh.
Career or this season?
This just season. The season.
I'm going to guess my guy
season.
Dylan Brooks probably has a lot.
Okay, wait. Let me do this the right way.
Outside of that.
I'm going to be a radio professional.
I'm going to need Riggins here. I got nothing else.
Okay, there's one.
All right.
Don't look. Don't cheat.
Players
I'm not cheating. I'm just
or
looking
coaches
at names.
Included?
Oh, players.
Just players.
So okay. More than Draymond? I'm going to guess Luka. Is Luka on that list? Yeah, he bitches a lot. Who else complains?
He's one ahead of Draymond, by the way.
One ahead, so not by much. So last night, put him over the top.
Yep, so
although
two.
Draymond should have been there.
There's two. There's one obvious one that's not the biggest of names on a team that he quite literally is aiming for it every game.
What do you got, Riggins?
Ooh.
Can you bow down to figure it out?
You bow down.
Can you bow down to figure it out?
I feel like I'm trying to solve a Wordle right now. I'm like, come on, man. There's a word. What's that word? I'm like sounding out different words in my head.
I play the New York Times mini crossword every day, and the things I say to my wife.
The obvious things. It's an obvious
not
tease.
Me, no, not you, no. But.
That doesn't help. What? No.
What husky are you talking
you're
about?
Charades?
Oh, you're going to say it, and you're going to go, why did we not think of that instantly?
What? I didn't even know the Huskies had a player in the NBA
He's got
anymore.
A lot of fight in him. A lot of fight in
Isaiah
him.
Isaiah Stewart?
Beef Stewart.
There's three. Can you get the three others?
I'm out. I already got two. I got half the
damn
list.
Yeah, you're doing more than Riggins has been terrible.
Riggins is doing nothing.
Why
he just stares blankly at you. He's got nothing. And then I'm going to give him a stat or story, and he'll yell, stat, 4 seconds into it today. Thanks. Thanks for that. Needed you on this one.
Who else is extra whiny?
God, can you just throw
at this
name?
Point, just give us the name.
Chris Paul?
No.
He just punches people in the nuts.
No more guesses?
Nah.
God, why are you so bad at these games?
Because we gotta go.
Oh, that's the
that's
reason.
The blame
yeah, I'm sure that's the reason.
Backs up against the wall here.
The other names. Anthony Edwards is tied for the league lead.
I wouldn't have guessed
that's
that.
That's my fault. That's him on and, me. That's bad.
Him and Dylan the villain. Yeah, we know, dude. We just told you were terrible. Trey Young. And this one shocked
He's
me.
He's just upset about his hair.
This guy, I'd have never guessed, is ahead of Draymond Green in technical fouls this year. Jason Tatum.
Tatum's getting teed up a lot.
14.
Yeah. Tatum tees.
Yeah.
He makes whiny face a lot.
More than Draymond, though, is a shocking
thing. He thinks he gets fouled on every play.
The fact that Draymond Green doesn't have the most in the league, well, maybe Dylan Brooks and Beef Stewart, they fight every game, essentially.
Dylan is leading the league.
Dylan DeVille. The fact that Draymond's not number one, two, or three on that list is laughable.
I got some Masters facts we'll get to, so we'll pause the NBA stuff. We'll talk about the Malone firing at Dover at 7:30 for the Daily Ticker. Dirt and Sprague back with more on the Fan. All right, we got Dover to get to coming up here for the Daily Ticker. The reaction in Denver to Mike Malone, 10-year coach, NBA champion, winningest coach in franchise history. And they said, thank you, bye-bye. We're going to David Adelman, the pride of Lincoln. He's going to be our coach for the playoffs.
And my apologies. I thought he went to Jesuit, but he coached Lincoln. He won multiple titles at Lincoln when a listener made a correction there.
Thank you.
Because he was the coach at Lincoln when I was in high school playing against Lincoln. I didn't play hoops, but he was a coach at Lincoln.
Well, we have one of our listeners that will tag me and stuff from time to time that I appreciate. And I saw his post yesterday. It was like, hey, my high school coach that made me hate basketball and got multiple Deweys is now leading Nikola Jokic. I was like, oh, okay.
That took a left turn.
I honestly didn't know the backstory there, but we'll talk to him about how they're feeling in Denver. I want to get to a couple nuggies, okay?
God, yes.
You're wearing the jacket. I thought it only fair to do this. Let's go through this. This is an interesting list put together.
It feels so good.
By CBS Sports, which I actually quite enjoy because I'm not going to pretend to be Mr. Golf Guy. Rory looking to become the fifth player all time to have the Grand Slam completed.
Career Grand Slam.
Career Grand Slam.
I believe it's sixth.
It is fifth on CBSSports.com.
Who are we not counting? Gene Sarazen?
They don't count him. They say, will Rory McIlroy overcome the demons and become the fifth to complete the career Grand Slam?
Sarazen won the Masters technically in 1935. I believe that was the first ever Masters, if I'm not mistaken.
Was there a PGA Championship?
It says he won the PGA Championship in 1922.
Okay. Because I know the majors going way back were different.
Yes, they were. So maybe they're crediting it differently. But Sarazen, Hogan, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, and Tiger Woods are the only ones ever do it.
Just
keep going. Keep going. My apologies.
You're wasting your own time. This one's interesting. The age. How much should age play a factor? They basically go through a list and they say, if you're over 46, you're not winning. And here's that list.
Yeah.
Phil. Freddie. VJ, Mike Weir, Bernhard Langer.
His last one.
Angel Cabrera.
Out of prison. El Pato.
Zach Johnson.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Zach Johnson being on that list of winners, too. It's just every time I see the Champions Dinner, I'm like, get him out of there.
Another good one. Maybe you don't remember your first time. Basically, first time playing, you're not going to win it. Ludwig Oberg. Came in second.
He came very close. That was his first ever major.
Zalatoris is threatened as well, but for that list, it's a bunch of amateurs, and there's really no that I'm seeing massive names on the tour that people would know of note.
Yeah.
Steady climb. This one's interesting. Basically, have a game plan all on the table. Seven of the last 10 Masters champions had at least one top five finish in their Masters career before donning the green jacket.
It helps to have a little bit of experience at the course.
Wyndham Clark falls in this category. He is not, they're saying, Wyndham Clark, off the list.
Cross him off the list. He's not having a great year this year.
What have you done for me lately? Every green jacket winner since 2015 has notched a top 15 finish on the PGA Tour or DP World Tour stroke play event leading into the Masters of that calendar year. That was Scheffler, Rahm, Scheffler, Johnson, Spieth in 2015. That would eliminate Fitzpatrick, Homa, Chris Kirk, Kazire, Pavon, Cameron Smith, Thigala, and Bubba Watson.
Knock them off the list.
Off the list. And last one I'll give you before we go to Dover. We can get back into some other nuggies, and I know it's tomorrow. Major championship pedigree. Rare to show up at a major championship and win without at least having a recent taste of contention. In fact, 10 of the last 15, or the last 10 Masters winners, all had a top 15 finish in a major championship the year prior. That list of golfers who have not: Berger, Harmon, Batia, Bradley, English, Glover, Dustin Johnson, Tom Kim, Koepka, Minwoo Lee, Michael Kim, Neiman, who is on fire, I guess, right now.
He's a liver.
Schwartzel, Spieth, Straka, Taylor, and
Willett, Danny Willett.
Danny Willett, who's back as a past champion.
Yeah.
Sepp Straka is my long shot bet this week. I do like the way that he's playing, but some of these metrics don't bear out. I'll just give you one little note of my nuggies. I have many of nuggie to get to for the Masters. Very excited for tomorrow.
The good thing of Thursday is like, yeah, they tee off, but it's still so nuggies. Early that we can do more.
We're going to be eating our pimento cheese in here in the morning. It's going to be delightful. Tomorrow is massively important. Of the last 20 Masters champions, Tiger was 33rd after the opening round the year that he chipped in and beat DeMarco in a playoff. And many people forget, too, by the way, that he bogeyed 17 and 18 after he chipped in on 16 for birdie.
Is that and iconic
that's
chip?
That's the iconic chip
with the ball roll.
With the Vern Lundquist and the Nike logo. That was in 2005. He was 33rd after the first round. Since that Masters tournament, the lowest somebody has been to come back and win after the opening round of the tournament on the leaderboard is 11th, and that was Tiger in 2019.
So if you're not in the top 10, essentially, and you ain't Tiger Woods.
If you're not in the top 10 after tomorrow's round, you're not going to win the Masters. Wow. That's what the last 20 years tells us. So tomorrow is massive.
We'll get back into some Masters stuff. We got NBA, we've got NFL, we've got a lot more to get into. We'll talk with Gavin Dawson. It's the return game of Luka Doncic in Dallas. He'll join us at 8:15. We'll get to some sadder story. Coming up next for the Daily Ticker, Josh Dover in Denver. How are they feeling the next day after firing Mike Malone? We'll talk to him coming up next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, today's Daily Ticker presented by Pelican Brewing Company. The return of warmer weather. Pelican Brewing brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's a refreshment that you can see. What a shocker in the NBA yesterday. The Denver Nuggets won an NBA championship 2 years ago, and yesterday they fired their head coach and general manager. Talked a lot about it in the first hour of our show because it happened we were off the air yesterday. And let's go to Denver now with our good friend Josh Dover, at Joshua Dover on Twitter. You go give him a follow. He is a host out there at 104.3 The Fan, denversports.com. Josh, good morning to you, man. The reaction from you, the reaction from the city. Did anybody see this coming completely out of left field? How's everybody feeling in Denver?
Well, we got a night to sleep on it, but still a lot of shock, as you guys have mentioned there. The Calvin Booth stuff, it was expected. I thought really about halfway through the season that was going to be what was going on with Calvin Booth, and heard a couple of little rumblings from some people that'll tell me things down there, that they were not going to renew his contract and just let him walk. So that one wasn't that big of a deal. The reason behind the Calvin Booth firing or going to let him walk was the disagreements about roster construction, playing time for young guys, development between him and Coach Michael Malone. So it really felt like, hey, it's one or the other. And thinking that Nikola Jokic is kind of Michael Malone's guy and vice versa with Michael Malone and Nikola Jokic, you thought, okay, well, he's going to be safe at least for a little while, and they'll give him a chance to go through another playoff run, maybe reset the roster and see what it looks like with Coach Malone. But guys, I was told that something went down between the two of them Sunday night after the Pacers loss, and it just got to a boiling point where inside the building, you were literally either Team Malone or Team Booth, and if you were the other around the other guy, well, they weren't going to talk to you or address you or have any kind of conversations with you, which is very immature, and you obviously cannot do business like that. So I feel a little bit for Coach Malone because a lot of this is, and he's admitted it, actually the clip's going viral about that Portland game a couple weeks ago, that no one listens to him. They don't play defense, and he wants to be sold as a defensive-minded coach. So I think with what Malone has said over the last couple of weeks and the actions of this team and then the disagreements between he and Calvin Booth and neither of the men being able to just go and have a grown-up conversation about how they make it work, they both were battling, and then they both lost.
Josh, I think we know that there's probably a 4 or 5 list long of players in this league that if the coach is fired at this point of the season, it's like the number one topic on every show of like debate this player, how he got his coach fired. And so we were talking about this earlier, how Jokic kind of is able to escape some of that narrative stuff just because he's not as talkative or loud or front facing of the league as some other players. I'm curious. You say that's Jokic's guy. Mike Malone and Jokic have this partnership. I'd imagine the Kroenkes aren't doing this without presenting this to Jokic. And so maybe just your general thoughts of where Jokic sits kind of in some of that, because Mike Malone being fired is shocking, and how you kind of view that relationship maybe if he was okay signing off on that firing.
He was definitely addressed before it became public, before they even had sent the request for Michael Malone to come in to talk with Josh Kroenke and ownership group before they were going on a road trip. They got a basketball game tonight. So, he was in the loop. He was told about it. I'm not sure that it was a, hey, are you okay with, or we're just letting you know as employee and star player and MVP of the basketball team. And I think Nikola, I mean, we've seen him frustrated more this year than I've ever seen Nikola. And I've heard things from Nikola that I've never heard from Nikola before. They started rough this season, and one of his quotes was, in my country, we take people's pay away when they don't play well or perform well. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. And then the other night, him and Christian Brown were kind of getting into a little mini argument, and Nikola was asked about it. And his answer, I'm going to give you the direct quote because I can't get it out of my head, was, I'm never mad at Christian. He plays hard, end quote. So like, okay, well, who are you mad at for not playing hard? And just the other things of his signature shoe and leaning into the colorways and promoting that stuff. Like, I think this is the first year that Nikola Jokic has realized who the heck he is, which is a dominant basketball player. The Serbian basketball god is what I like to call him, and realizing how much power he has, how great he can be. And I think he actually realizes for the first time in his career, there is a window here for me to win multiple NBA championships, and I want to capitalize on that. And I'm willing, at any expense, to go out of my way to get those multiple championships. And I think if the coach, the general manager, is a casualty of that quest, I think Nikola Jokic is fine with it.
Oh, Dirt, that's awful news, because it sounds like America's corrupted now, Nikola Jokic. We finally have broken him and made him a normal American.
It'll be concerning for the rest of the league. Josh Dover, our guest, 104.3 The Fan there in Denver, at Joshua Dover on Twitter. I guess that this is an impossible question to answer, but I'm going to ask you anyways. I'm just like, what do you think this does for the rest of the year for them? They've been so bad defensively. You mentioned Malone complaining that nobody would listen. Is a never been a head coach before going to get them to listen? And then you mentioned the Jokic stuff to me is fascinating. Like, we've never really had those murmurs with him of like, hey, is he going to want out, or what's his future look like? But if he's growing frustrated, I don't really know what the moves that they make in terms of the pieces that they have that are hot commodities on the market, and how you would go from, if there is an early exit, how do you get back to that point? So a two-parter, what do you think happens the rest of the year with an interim head coach? And then where is there a fear in the back of the mind? We went through this for a long time with Dame, but he never won a title here, of is this guy going to want out at some point?
With the Joker wanting out stuff, and actually his agent posted something on Instagram last night that's got everybody's antennas up here in Denver, that the next odds for him to be, which the Lakers are at the top of the list. I think that's the agent probably playing the game a little bit, and that's what they're supposed to do. I don't think that Nikola would ever, like, request a trade or ask out. And he's still under contract for a few years. So maybe if things don't get right or have light at the end of the tunnel, he doesn't renew. And does that mean he goes to another NBA team, or just says, screw it, I'm going home to Serbia with my millions of dollars, leave me the hell alone? That might be the case, too. That might be the case even if they do win another championship, to be honest. So I don't think he's ever going to leave the Denver Nuggets. I know that they won't trade him. I absolutely know that they will not do that. So I don't think he wants to be that guy that's kind of bouncing around and chasing the championships. He said several times, now things can change, as you mentioned with Dame, that he wants to be a Nugget for life. They gave him the opportunity. His kids are from here. He's raising his family here. I think that stuff matters to him. But it not getting better and him just walking away. And by the way, let's keep an eye on what happens with this NBA Europe League. What if that's around in 3, 4, 5 years from right now? And he just decides to go and do that. So I don't think he'll ever be in another NBA uniform in America that's not the Denver Nuggets. Now for what's next, Josh Kroenke tried to sell it yesterday that there's still juice in this roster. There's still life in this roster. And that's what Josh Kroenke's supposed to say, right? He's got tickets to sell, beers to sell, and hot dogs to sell. But there's no juice. It's over. It's a wrap. This roster is cooked. It needs to be reset. It needs to be revamped. Michael Porter Jr. or Jamal Murray or both have to be traded. They need to get a general manager in here that's on the same page as the coach, that is going to be a part of the hiring process with the coach, so that they're all on the same page about the healthy balance between development and chasing championships, because that's what we learned with Calvin Booth. He thought for some reason you could do both. I don't think that's possible in sports, but he did, and now he's fired, and I'm going to go talk about him being fired on the radio today.
We're a little against it, so I hate to ask you this question with not much time to be able to answer it. You've got a Trailblazer ball boy now as your head coach. We know the name well out here in the Pacific Northwest. Did not end well for him coaching high school for certain reasons, but he got into the NBA, and he's been highly thought of as an assistant in the league. David Adelman is now going to lead them in the playoffs. Where is the excitement slash confidence about David Adelman to weather the storm?
I mean, look, I'll be brutally honest for a second. Zero excitement. Zero excitement. I mean, it sounds disrespectful to David Adelman, but I'm trying not to be. He's just not the sexy name or hire that might be there. Now, there's trust within the fan base, and there's certainly trust within the organization, which is why Josh Conte gave him the power, and the players trust him. But I wonder, I mean, this thing was so broken, guys. Like, it's still, he's a Malone guy. And then what does that mean still in the building? What does that mean for the guys that aren't Malone guys on the roster, like a Peyton Watson, who's going to have to play a big role? So I think it's a good opportunity for him. I do believe David Adelman will be a head coach in this league at some point. I do not believe it's going to be with the Denver Nuggets.
Interesting. Josh Dover, great stuff from him. 104.3 The Fan over in Denver, denversports.com, at Joshua Dover on Twitter. I'm sure it's a busy and entertaining day for your station and your listeners. We'll see how the playoff run goes, and hopefully we can do this again soon. Thanks, man.
Yeah, I always appreciate you having me.
There you go. Josh Dover from Denver on the state of the Nuggets. He says it's done. They're cooked. Roster is, they're finished. No excitement about Adelman taking over, which I don't blame him at all there. I do enjoy the media member or the fan who says they'll never put on another jersey, because a lot of teams have been through that, and I wouldn't be surprised if it got to that point.
Yeah, and Josh, I think Josh is, relaying pretty good information. I also wanted to say I wouldn't have said for $1 million Luka was getting traded this
never.
Year. You don't know. And, interesting to kind of point out, he's now into branding, and I thought he just liked horses.
His agent is putting stuff on Instagram about the next odds of teams he's going to play for.
I'm really serious. I think we've corrupted him. We have finally broken his spirit as a I don't care about basketball guy. Now he's like, I care greatly about basketball and legacy.
Is this our move this offseason? We move Scoot, Shaden, Anfernee Simons, all the Bucks' future first-round picks, and go get Jokic and hire Mike Malone?
We start with just Jokic go from there.
We got Jokic 2 and Denny, baby. That's all we need. Title bound.
That would actually be a funny poll question. Would you give up all?
Everything.
And just come back starting
for
with
Jokic.
Denny and Jokic.
Hell, I'd play 5-on-1 if you give me Jokic. 1-on-5. It doesn't matter. We'll lose every game. That's great. Man, it'd be good.
Like, the defense can be any worse.
No, it can't. Today's Daily Ticker presented by Pelican Brewing Company with the return of the warmer weather. Pelican Brewing brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. We're going to go to Dallas in the final hour of the show, because Luka Doncic makes his return to Dallas tonight with the Lakers after getting ejected last night. I wanted to get to something next, and that is disrespect. Is that fair on the Fan?
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Spray crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. We'll go to Dallas coming up with Gavin Dawson, formerly of The Fan. Was it Ropping the Mop, I believe, Saturday mornings with Jason Swigard?
Yep.
Look at that.
No, I was.
You didn't produce that show?
I was not a producer.
Not a producer of that one, of the Ropping the Mop back in the day?
Frosted Tip Swag.
Frosted Tip Swag back in the back in the glory days of The Fan. So he's going to join us.
Photograph.
The rookies.
We'll talk about Luka Doncic and his return to Dallas tonight in Dallas. So that's coming up in a bit. I got a few more Masters nuggies in the final hour of the show I'd like to get to. I wanted to get to this. It was in my notes yesterday. I kind of punted it. We talked about Geno Smith signing his contract in Vegas and what the finances were.
Yeah, I watched that press conference with him and Pete Carroll.
Just had his press conference the other day. He talked about the relationship with Pete. He said he kept calling Pete last year when things would go bad, and Pete Carroll essentially continued to coach him, which is just an interesting dynamic because they had fired him, and he had a new head coach and a new offensive coordinator. He sat down for an interview with Albert Breer, and he had this to say about his time in Seattle and moving on. And I'm just going to ask the question, fair or foul? That's all you got to answer, fair or foul? And he said, on leaving the Seahawks, quote, "You're talking about a quarterback," this is Geno, "you're talking about a quarterback who wants not only to get paid, every player wants to get paid, but to be respected. That's the most important thing. It's the respect factor, and I just felt like there was a disconnect there. Geno Smith says he felt disrespected by the Seattle Seahawks. Many people in Seattle, very questioning of this comment of like, wait a minute, we picked you up off the scrap heap. You wrote us. Yeah. We wrote you back. We gave you a job.
Is he talking about the fan base or the team?
I think it's about not getting the contract.
I think it's about not getting the contract.
After what he did post-Russell Wilson and how close they were to the playoffs. And look, we've debated the Geno stuff probably ad nauseum, but like...
Yeah, we don't need to get into that debate again.
His numbers say that he is in a certain standard of quarterback play, whether you believe in him or not. And when it came out what his contract with the Raiders was versus what they paid for Darnold, and you've noted this, how quickly they can get out of Darnold. I'd argue you can get out of Geno pretty quick, too, if you're the Raiders.
Yeah, it's not a long-term deal.
It's not really a big difference in money, and so it's basically Seahawks said, thanks, but no thanks, we're going to go a different direction. Whether that's the right choice or not, we don't know yet, and I think that's kind of what he is hinting at, is like, after what I did, you couldn't just pony up a couple extra.
Yeah.
But it's the NFL, man. That's the way the cookie crumbles. That's the way the business is. And I'd also argue, even if that is kind of a shot at the Seahawks, I don't think there's real animosity there. I think this was just as much of him wanting to go play for his guy, Pete Carroll, as it was the Seahawks saying, yeah, we're good. We're going to move on. We're going to try it with a young guy. If it doesn't work, we're going to move on again.
Well, and then just remembering the relationship that he had with Pete Carroll, it reminded me of just what that must have been like when he got fired over a year ago, because I mean, they were that tight that he continued to call him throughout the course of last season. And so you fire his head coach. I decided it was interesting. People in Seattle saw this and were like, are you kidding me? You kidding me? We gave you an opportunity. We revived your career. How did we disrespect you? And so he ruffled a few feathers in Seattle by saying he just felt like there was a disconnect with the respect factor between him and his organization. And he had had his press conference the other day in Vegas to be introduced as their new starting quarterback. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Crunch Time, as always, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver online at crunch.com. How about we do Saturday Story at 8:30? Okay, so we'll do that. We'll move it back slightly.
Okay.
Gavin Dawson's going to join us at 8:15.
We'll go to Dallas. I'm excited for Saturday Story today.
So you got a good stat? You got a good story? You feeling good?
Yep.
I'm feeling pretty solid about mine, too. I'm sure Riggins will ruin it 4 seconds in, but I'm feeling good about my stat and my story today. I'm going to start with a couple more Masters notes. It tees off tomorrow. Very excited. A few things to keep an eye on. Storylines for the tournament. A little Masters preview to kick off the final hour next on 1080 The Fan.